Author Mara Altman's volatile and apprehensive relationship with her body has led her to wonder about a lot of stuff over the years, like who decided that women shouldn't have body hair? How sweaty is too sweaty? These questions and others like them have led to the comforting and sometimes smelly revelations that constitute the new book Gross Anatomy, Dispatches from the Front and Back. The book is an examination of the female body from the tip of the hairiest chin to the bottom of the, well, bottom. She mixes memoir with reporting to shed light on some of society's most taboo topics. In her essay collection, she turns her gaze from the mirror to society at large, revealing what today's beauty obsessions might say about oneself and the world. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Mara Altman to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, great to be here.
Nice to have you on the program. So what brought you to write these dispatches?
Yeah, it started, well, you know, the whole thing is kind of about all the body parts and functions that are natural, even essential, yet we tend to have shame about. And for me, it really started with body hair. First, I, you know, had the mustache, and then I had some chin hair, and I had to ask this question, is like, why, to be a complete woman, does it feel like I need to get rid of a part of myself? And so I started from there and just really investigating why we have it. I talked to evolutionary theorists, anthropologists, sociologists, women gender professors. I talked to other women as well, found out I definitely wasn't alone, which was one of the most wonderful revelations of all. And then it just all kind of dispelled the shame of it.
So in dispelling that shame, did you come down and decide to live life differently when it came to these various functions?
No, not always. For example, with body hair, the removal of it was very anxiety-inducing for me because I was afraid of being found out, and in this particular case from my husband. I was always tearing up laser hair removal appointment cards and hiding myself away in the bathroom to try and look presentable and being scared of direct sunlight because it might, you know, hit the hair perfectly and have this wonderful shimmering effect. So really, it was more about just getting it off my chest and normalizing it. And I still do these practices, but there's not so much anxiety and shame behind them. So the energy is focused in a different way, which is a big relief.
And you have a little bit a better sense, I assume, as to why these things are done, and that helps the process. Not to put words in your mouth, but is that where...
It does. Exactly. It's not just that, you know, everyone should just feel better because we're talking about it, but when you go back and you research why we feel the way we feel, you kind of realize that there's not really a great reason for it. And also, all of these body parts and functions, there's a reason behind them, and a lot of times they're very helpful for us, such as sweating. You know, like sweating is actually essential. If we couldn't sweat and we were hot, we would die of hypothermia. And so when we kind of have that shame around having sweat stains, for me it's kind of reframed it. You know, if we didn't have that, what would happen?
So when you look at what ultimately has occurs here, I guess you have to wonder, it seems to me that the human body fascinates you, that you have to, yes, there are these things that are gross, but you also have a fascination about the human body and what it does.
I absolutely do. I think it's fascinating. I think there's a lot to learn about it. I love digging into it. So yeah, it was a joy to write the book, and a joy to talk to people about the human body. I went into, for example, one chapter, I thought I was going to write the short history of the douchebag, and maybe it would be like a little boxed out section, but it ended up being one of my biggest chapters about vaginal scent, which was so fascinating, it turned out.
So it became the fascination, and you realized that there was more. And I'm assuming you're on fairly how do I put this? That there isn't a lot written on this topic. That you are sort of looking at this for the first time and presenting it to a mass audience, if you will.
There are people that, you know, had pieces of the puzzle, but as I say in the book, on this chapter in particular about vaginal scent, there's no vaginal scent historian I could go to really understand how people have felt about it over time. I could talk to, academics who study the medieval period and kind of ask how they think women might have interacted with that part of their body. And the answer was very interesting, actually. And it's that, you know, during that time, douches were a contraceptive. They weren't to change the scent of your vagina. They used red wine. And then even like the Greeks, they used crocodile dung for contraception. It's just like fascinating tidbits. I try and piece it together and kind of come to an understanding of how we've come to feel the way that we feel.
Does it seem as though that when you were talking to people about this, I assume people that deal with it all the time don't have this, but generally when you ask other women about this, there's embarrassment, right? Much like you felt that you die of embarrassment when you're talking about such topics.
It's a mix, because actually now that I'm, you know, my book comes out today and
yeah,
people are so excited to talk about it. It's really cool. It's like, it's a little release. People are allowed, in my presence at least, people are allowed to tell their stories about their hemorrhoid or their sweat stain that happened when they went for an interview, or, you know, the hemorrhoid they got seared off. It's just all kind of all these things that they weren't allowed to talk about or that there's shame around, they can talk. I haven't had anyone be appalled.
Right. Not that they're appalled, but maybe that they're not. Some people, I would assume people even listening to this interview right now, there's people who are saying, oh, why are they talking about that?
Yeah, sure. I suppose that could happen, and it happens because we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
But now we're starting to talk about it.
Now, there's a lot of this. Now, of course, you just gave some examples of things that do not apply, but there are things like sweat and hair and other things that certainly apply to the male body as well. I mean, there is some universality to this.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wrote this little piece about belly button lint. I was fascinated about it, and it turns out there's actually people that have done studies about it, and, you know, there's not a ton, but there's some, and it mostly pertains to men. Those who have hairier bellies, the hair actually acts as like a tract for little lint to fill up their belly buttons. It was really silly, but also pretty informative.
I read that. So, I mean, it's almost like a Venus flytrap. Well, you would think it would almost act as a filter versus something that's bringing it in.
I know. Isn't it funny?
Yeah. That's odd, isn't it?
It is.
Now,
it's so silly, and that someone has actually done research on it. There's that. There's the belly button, which is so interesting. I had always thought of it as being flat, you know, but on the other side of the belly button, but it actually, an anatomist that I talked to said that it's like spaghetti strands or pasta strands kind of coming out the backside. And they used to be arteries that were attached to all our different organs, you know, feeding the blood from the placenta. And
right,
once you're born, it becomes ligaments that are no longer used. But it's just really fascinating to know that.
And
I also think from the male perspective, it just might be interesting also to get kind of insight into the women's experience.
Which is which, I mean, you do this beautifully in the book, but none of it seems, how do I say this? You seem like there's a lot there, and that we're hiding, which seems unnecessary, which would indicate that there's kind of a shame and a pain that goes along with it that doesn't have to be there.
Yeah, definitely. Like, for me, the most poignant example was that of the hair, in that I had so much, I felt like I was like hiding a state secret, you know, and once I just was able to relieve that, all that energy that went into hiding, I could just be present. I mean, it was also interesting talking about camel toe too. I was trying to investigate camel toes. I was calling all these athleisure wear places to see what they do to their pants to try and prevent camel toe, because that's another thing women try to avoid. And none of them would talk to me, like, on the record, and not even on deep background. And that's like, you know, when people are facing assassination attempts, that's like they'll go on background.
Right.
It was like very telling.
So what's the reason? So what's the reason for that, do you think?
Of the shame or like the...
Yeah, well, that they won't talk to you.
Well, I mean, in that particular instance, I would have to assume that they wanted to be in no way affiliated with the discussion of camel toe. And that's because it's not something... probably not something that's like on brand for them.
Yeah, they don't. So they don't want their name Googled and have that article pop up, as it were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lululemon would, you know, they weren't into it. No comment.
Now you talk about your own person, about your autobiography in here as well, memoir of what you've gone through, and so you describe, I believe this is correct, you describe your family growing up as a hair positive family.
Yeah, they were hair positive. So my mom didn't shave her armpits or legs, and you know that was my example growing up, and they viewed your natural state as you accepting yourself, like you being true to yourself. So when I went to junior high and had my hairy legs and was true to myself, it didn't fit in. And it was pointed out by the peers that, you know, it was gross. And so I had this moment of really having to choose what I was going to do. It wasn't like a foregone conclusion that I would shave because of the household I grew up in. And I really think that's where the why really began in my life. You know, I could kind of question these practices that we do because I grew up in a household that didn't do them.
Oh, Mara, what kind of mail do you get?
The good kind. Very interesting.
I assume people share a lot.
They do, and I love it.
Yeah. And so give us a sense. Are they wanting to tell you more stories of the same of what you have discovered, or are they telling you new things that perhaps you hadn't thought of?
Well, I just heard something new today, which was very cool, but usually it's people want to relate and resonate, and a lot of people who have had parallel experiences that, you know, they just want to tell about their chin hair too, or their hemorrhoid, or, you know, and it's really still early because the book comes out today.
Right.
But there's been advanced reading copies out there.
Yeah.
And so I have already gotten responses and just people just wanting to be like, yeah, totally, you know, or, oh, I feel a lot better. I'm not sure why, but I feel really good. And I just love it. I love it because I feel like that's a bonus. You know, I went into this really for the investigation to understand why, and the fact that it's made people feel better is just incredible.
So, final question, and it's just one out of curiosity, but is there anything in writing about this in Gross Anatomy, is there anything that you still find icky?
I would say that, you know, gross is with quotations. It's kind of, I don't think that anything is really gross in that way, but I think, you know, in terms of being totally comfortable with everything, I don't necessarily, you know, while I'm cool with my chin hair, I don't want to grow it out and have someone like take a picture and post it on the internet. So there's that.
Okay.
I also have twin babies now and they slobber a lot and I'm not like 100% into saliva being all over my body.
Well, You get that, right? Sure. Well, the book is fascinating. It's called Gross Anatomy, Dispatches from the Front and the Back. And Mara Altman is the author. It's published by Putnam. Mara, congratulations on the book coming out today. Have a wonderful book tour. I can't even imagine the great stories you're going to hear. And and be well. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.